This is Michael Ann Conley, and you are listening to Habits into Health. I'm recording today from a beautiful grove of trees looking out on the western shore of Lake Tahoe that borders California and Nevada. I'm up here this weekend for a little break and wanted to share the setting with you. There's a whole lot of wet dogs and wet kids, occasional bicyclists and people picnicking and in the water enjoying themselves. So you may hear some ambient noise more than usual. Now, on to what we're about. Well, do you have habitual behaviors that concern you? Or maybe you care about someone who has a habit that's creating problems and you don't know what to do about it. If so, well, you've come to the right place, because Habits into Health is all about how we can turn around problem habits to create a more fulfilling life. In this show, you get a chance to learn from the outside through information that I pass along to you, but also from the inside by practicing an experiential exercise in each episode to help you awaken to yourself. This helps you shape your changes. We are interested in helping you expand your choices in changing behaviors that do create difficulties for yourself and others. You might be listening now because you want to improve some aspect of your life, right? Or maybe you're dealing with some habitual behavior and you've decided to work on it. Or maybe you want to reinforce the habit change that you've already made. The thing is, it's very common to experience some pushback from the old you. It's like the old habit says, hey, don't you think you can get rid of me so easy? And so it is easy to slip unless you give yourself some additional support. None of us gets there alone. And HALT is one thing that you can bring in. HALT stands for hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. It's a gift to the world from folks in the 12-step programs. The idea is to recognize that it's tough to change a problem behavior. And if you get too hungry, angry, lonely, and or tired, you could relapse. Now, relapse means different things to different people. From the Habits into Health perspective, any human behavior can become problematic. So you get to define what relapse means for you. Lately, we've been exploring the tired in HALT, and today we're going to discuss sleep deprivation. But before we talk further about this, I'd like to lead you in a brief exercise. In Habits into Health, we focus on letting your body lead so that your mind doesn't have to. When you become attentive to your body's signals, you actually listen and learn more effectively. So I invite you now to join in with today's exercise in a way that works for you, even if you're listening while being involved in another activity. Since being tired is our topic, I invite you to notice your energy level right now. What time of day is it? And what is your level of alertness or attentiveness? If you're listening in the morning, how awake are you? And where do you feel this awakeness in you? If it's afternoon, are you energized or subdued? If you're listening in the evening or close to bedtime, what is your experience of yourself given this time of day? These are not just ideas to think about, so let me guide you a little more. I use the term geography a lot, and this means tuning in to specific locations in your body. So check in with yourself and notice what stands out. What part of your geography is announcing itself? For instance, you might feel alert and active in your head, and at the same time, sluggish in your belly or fidgety in your feet. You could feel tense in your shoulders and lax in your legs. Or perhaps you feel tired around your eyes or engaged. Just notice what is. The first practice in Habits into Health is attuning to your sensory experience. As kids, we come by this naturally. And for many of us, as we age, thinking about takes hold and we step back from being with. From the Habits into Health perspective, it's important to be in a no-judgment zone about whether the sensory experience is good or bad, comfortable or uncomfortable. So just check in right now for a moment. Where in you do you experience your energy? More or less? What parts of you are announcing themselves and saying, "Hello, I feel energized and alive. I feel subdued. I feel calm. I feel sluggish and slow. I feel drained." Whatever it is, just notice what is. And if discomfort comes up, just remember, discomfort often gives birth to motivation. And motivation can lead to change. So noticing that you're feeling uncomfortable is not necessarily a bad thing. At the outset, it's essential to just attune to what is, and developing this is a skill that comes with practice. I invite you, as you listen to today's topic, to be with yourself. Be with, by practicing this kind of attunement in your physical self. Your thoughts are deeply connected to physical processes, so noticing any muscular activity that occurs as you listen is a practice in itself. Just notice what is and where. Now, if this approach to self-knowing has an effect on you, I'd really like to hear about it. What do you notice? What have you learned that's valuable? What are you struggling with? I use listener feedback to develop my topics. You can visit habitsandhealth.com and either make comments on a specific podcast or click on the contact link to send me an email. While you're on the site, you might find other podcast topics that appeal to you on the podcast menu to listen to more. And you can also find articles or follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, or subscribe to find out about our latest updates. My name is Michael Ann Conley, and I host the show. Today we're going to continue to visit with HALT, which reminds you of being aware of whether being hungry, angry, lonely, or tired are making you vulnerable to forgetting your decision to change a behavior that just isn't serving you anymore. Today we're talking about a specific part of tired that actually links to hungry as well. So perhaps you can take a few focused breaths as we shift our attention to this topic. And listen to the wind while you're at it. The birds. The last word in HALT is tired. I'm recalling someone I know. I'll call her Susan. Maybe some things in her story will be familiar. She's starting to deal with other aspects of her life. Specifically, she's been worrying about work deadlines and not sleeping very well. Feeling tired in the morning and sluggish toward the end of her day. If you've listened to recent Habits into Health podcast, you won't be surprised to learn that Susan's diet was not very balanced. But she didn't know that there could be a connection between her eating patterns and her sleep patterns. In a way, she was set up in a vicious cycle. She tried to sleep as long as she could, so she was rushed in the morning and said she just didn't have time for breakfast, so she drank only coffee. At lunch, work was too pressured. She could barely get away long enough to pick up a salad. Here she was, doing her best to eat well, at least at lunch. By the time she got home at night, she was pooped. Sometimes she picked up dinner from a local diner, sometimes from a fast food place. She kept cookies around and munched while watching TV until she took herself upstairs to bed. And once there, she actually was able to get to sleep most nights. The problem was that she slept fitfully, often waking up, and many nights she would then toss and turn and not drift back to sleep. On the weekends, she was able to sleep more fully, so she tied her difficulties with sleep to the long hours of work and the pressures on the job itself. She also didn't get much exercise, and she was gaining weight. All of this added up to a lack of nourishment on many levels, when it's needed most. And then false energy with coffee in the morning and cookies at night. Or one healthy salad at lunch just wasn't enough. What Susan didn't know, and what you may not know yourself because it's only recently being understood, is that sleep deprivation itself contributes to poor eating habits. And poor eating habits can play a role in making our normal energetic shifts throughout the day more extreme. Several studies since January of 2012 are telling us more and more about this. Some of these studies are animal studies, and others had human participants. I'll summarize. In January of 2012, a new study confirmed previous reports that poor sleep makes us hungrier, and this has an effect on weight gain. Researchers at Uppsala University in Sweden studied young men who had normal weight. They found that study participants showed high level of activation in a part of the brain that's involved in a desire to eat. The study leader says, quote, "Bearing in mind that insufficient sleep is a growing problem in modern society, our results may explain why poor sleep habits can affect people's risk to gain weight in the long run. It may therefore be important to sleep about 8 hours every night to maintain a stable and healthy body weight," end quote. It turns out that even one night of sleeplessness makes people more hungry, which, she says, shows that an acute lack of sleep might affect your perception of food. In March of 2012, the Mayo Clinic researchers in Minnesota reported a study of young men and women in which people in one group who slept 1 hour and 20 minutes less than another group who slept normally consumed an average of 549 additional calories each day. Lack of sleep was associated with increased levels of one hormone and decreased levels of another. And if that wasn't enough, in January of 2012, Columbia University researchers in New York City put men and women through a sleep food study in which they looked at images. The people looked at images of healthy and unhealthy foods while they were undergoing a functional magnetic resonance imaging. These fMRIs were taken after a week in which the researchers restricted sleep to either 4 hours or let the study participants sleep up to 9 hours. When they compared the results, guess what they found? That study's principal investigator said, quote, "Under restricted sleep, individuals will find unhealthy foods highly salient and rewarding, which may lead to greater consumption of those foods." And in fact, they found that participants ate more overall and, quote, "consumed more fat after a period of sleep restriction compared to regular sleep," end quote. Meaning, sleep restriction indicates that people will be likely to eat not only unhealthier foods, but higher fat foods. Then in July, from the U.S. Veterans Administration, research done also in Minnesota, reported on a study with rats over a period of 8 weeks. And here's what they said, quote, "Prolonged exposure to a high-fat diet reduces the quality of sleep in rats." This was reported in ScienceDaily.com, and what they said is, quote, "Compared to rats that consumed a standard laboratory chow, the rats on the high-fat diet slept more, but sleep was fragmented. The increased sleep time of the rats on the high-fat diet occurred mainly during the normally active phase of the day, resembling excessive daytime sleepiness observed in obese humans," end quote. Well, it turns out that there's a neurotransmitter in our brains called orexin, which comes from a word that means appetite in Greek. Orexin plays an important role in regulating sleep. These researchers showed that high-fat diets affect the body's sensitivity to this neurotransmitter, which decreases your brain's ability to stabilize sleep. Now, I don't know how many rats they studied, but all of the human research was with small numbers of people. And yet, all of these combined are very, very suggestive. And besides, aren't they all just offering more specifics about one thing we've known for years, that junk food and high-fat diets aren't good for you? What these researchers are doing is making a connection to sleep. It's no wonder that Susan was tired all the time. And because of the link between diet and sleep, she started with the one thing she knew she could control, and that was diet. It was hard work. but knowing that her sleep deprivation was seducing her into poor eating habits did help. And maybe this can help you too. Over time, and with the reinforcement she got in therapy, Susan began to get more control over her eating habits. She continues to work with managing the stressors of her job, and she's found that investing time in a solid breakfast focused on protein gives her a better start to her day. Of course, Susan's path is not yet complete, and it may be something that she'll need to attend to off and on during her life. This may be true for us all. But it has helped her to take the reins of one aspect of her tiredness with some positive movement. So consider every day, do you have some food habits that may contribute to your feeling tired? This can be a habit in itself. Susan learned that not being attentive to her diet ultimately could lead her to other problems, and certainly didn't help her with her sleep issues. HALT has worked for Susan. Try it out for yourself. It's a self-caring reminder that getting too hungry, too angry, too lonely, and/or too tired gets in the way of stabilizing your changes of habit. And this is one of many ways to sustain new behaviors and grow yourself into your best future. If you're wondering about this and you want to know more, visit habitsintohealth.com and you can request a small self-assessment questionnaire to discover more. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you've been listening to Habits Into Health. I support you in turning those old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future. And by the way, a shout out to Andrew and Hannah at the Taylor Creek Visitor Center here in Lake Tahoe for turning me onto this delightful little spot from which I am recording today. Thanks for joining me.